This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Understanding ancient horse migration patterns could help us adapt to climate change. That's according to a new study from a team of Indigenous and non-Indigenous researchers. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to Lakota scientist Dr. Yvette Running Horse Collin about their work.
Can you help us understand the Shunwakan, the horse nation, and why it's considered a keystone species in Indigenous knowledge systems?
Absolutely. So according to many of our Lakota knowledge keepers, our relationship with Shunwakan, the horse nation, is a deep ancestral one. So for more than two decades, I've had training in our Lakota sciences specifically involving the horse. So it's really important to understand that the majority of our time living alongside the horse nation occurred before Europeans came to the Americas. And so as Lakota, we didn't know the horse trapped in corrals or stalls like they're kept today. So in spending time with them like this, really going into their world rather than expecting them to interact with us in ours, we learned about the key roles they play in balancing the ecosystem. As a Lakota scientist, my primary role is to understand and protect life. I work collaboratively with my elder knowledge keepers to do this work. So as we've been taught, in order to find balance as Lakota, we follow the horse. So it's natural that we would follow the horse in our scientific research as well. So in order to tell the horse's story, we understand it's important to reflect as many horse cultures as possible. We have a team of more than 57 international researchers, including 18 Indigenous scientists. We have them from the Lakota, the Okanagan, the Blackfoot, the Dene or Athabaskan, the Inupiaq Nation.
As we face growing environmental impacts, how can restoring the Shunwakan, the horse nation, to its rightful place in the ecosystem help support biodiversity and land health?
So many of the systems that have been put in place to manage land, they were put in place in a really different time period. It's really important to be able to reevaluate these policies. And if they're not working, it's important to be honest about that and implement a new path forward so that we can preserve life for today and for future generations. So what if I told you that changing the way we understand the horse and allowing it to live and move within its natural patterns could help reduce some of these unexpected fires that we see, you know, kind of raging today? Or what if I told you that, you know, allowing certain life forms to live the way they were created to live, you know, has the power to balance out some of this imbalance that we see today? So wouldn't that be something to consider?
How does incorporating a Lakota scientific principle help interpret the data in ways that Western science alone might miss?
In our Lakota science and many other Indigenous sciences, we actually try to step back and understand the whole first, right? So in this study, we bring together ancient DNA work, genomic sequencing, Indigenous knowledge, isotope analysis, right? We want to take you back to a time between 50,000 and 13,000 years ago. And so we wanted to go back to that time, a time of great environmental change, and take a look at what was happening there. And so in that, we follow the horse nation and they show us how they moved and also why they moved, right? As environment changes, it moves with that change. We understand when the horse moves, that all of that moves with it, and that necessarily affects the environment.
Can you share about what that relationship looks like in practice and why honoring it matters now more than ever?
So if we look at the world today and we look at the land management practices today, right? As a Lakota scientist, it's quite alarming. So if we don't like the mosquito, right? We spray the area with pesticides and we kill it, right? And in the process, we kill countless other life forms. We need to stop and we need to think about the effect that removing even one of these life forms has on the others around it. So this is something that our team really wants to focus on. We have a system that starts really far out from a big scope and then goes in that way. And so we are hopeful that this model is one that others will take a really close look at. And if they like it, find ways to incorporate it into their work going forward.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.